from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 this morning. And our study this morning is concerned with just one verse, a verse that does indeed stand on its own. It's verse 6. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. And then, by way of practical commentary on this, would you turn over a few pages to Matthew chapter 10? And there at verse 1, you find him calling together his 12 disciples. He gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every infirmity. And if you jump now down to verse 12, you'll find the practical instructions of the Lord. 10 and 12, as you enter the house, salute it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it shall be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. And again, if you turn over further into Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, very similar instructions given to the 70, not to the 12. Luke 10 and 1, after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to come. And again, the instructions from verse 8. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you, heal the sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it shall be more tolerable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Amen. Thanks be to God for his word. Has spoken of the Christian's character, of the Christian's function or influence in the world. The Beatitudes, you remember, and the salt and light passage. He has spoken of the deeper inner heart righteousness of the Christian. He has spoken of the resulting deeper and truer religious life of those who follow him. He has spoken of our attitudes to others around us. And now this sermon closes in chapter 7 with Jesus speaking about relationships. He has spoken about our relationships with those who are our brothers and sisters in Christ, these first 5 verses. He will speak of our relationship with the Father in heaven, verses 7 to 11. He will speak of our relationship with humanity in general, verse 12, with fellow pilgrims, 13 and 14, with those who are false prophets and false teachers, 15 to 20. And finally, he will speak of our relationship to him, or more specifically, our relationship to his teaching at the close of the sermon. But here this morning, he is speaking of our relationship with those he unequivocally calls dogs and pigs. His words, not mine. He is speaking of our relationship with those who knowingly and in the end deliberately refuse to know him, refuse the gospel. Now I tell you this, if I would not have chosen to preach so early in my ministry as I did on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, but did so because it was in the Sermon on the Mount, then equally I would not choose this verse. In fact, I don't suppose anyone would choose this verse as a text for a sermon. What is it? Do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and attack you. Now, if there were ever hard sayings in the teaching of Jesus, then these words would have to be listed amongst them. And I set that at the head this morning. These are not easy words. They are not easy to understand. They are not easy to apply. And let's face it, they're not even easy to hear and to take to ourselves. Jesus has just been saying that we are not to judge in the sense that we are not to condemn others. And if there was proof needed that he is not saying that we are to suspend all our critical faculties and not use good judgment, then here it is. Let me put it to you like this. In the first five verses of chapter 7, Jesus is saying, don't be judgmental. Now he is saying, but don't either be undiscriminating and foolish. Now the way Jesus points for us is a way that steers well clear of either extremes of judgmentalism on the one hand, or foolish ignoring of the reality of people's faults on the other. But I wonder if you find these words, whenever you come back to them, just a bit startling. I always find them just a bit unexpected, but not out of character. If you think this is something out of character with Jesus, then more likely it's your typecasting of Jesus that's at fault. Because this is in character what Jesus has to say here. Let me remind you that he called the Pharisees serpents, a brood of vipers, poisonous snakes. At the same time he called them whitewashed tombs. Matthew 23, and he spells that one out quite clearly. Jesus was able to call Herod Antipas that old fox. And he himself, on occasions, refused to speak, refused to give answer to those who were taunting him. Think of what happened at his trial, when he answered them, not one word. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus was like me and like you, a bit quick-tempered on occasions. I'm not saying that Jesus was hasty and said things that he regretted. In fact, he is speaking against rash outbursts. But Jesus could also be outspoken. Dogs and holy things, pigs and pearls, these are part of the gospel record of Jesus' ministry, and they are found elsewhere in the New Testament. And when we begin to look at these, we begin to understand what Jesus is saying. Oh yes, when our brother has a fault, verse 5, it is our responsibility only after bringing our own glaring faults to God, it is yet our responsibility to approach our brother or sister and help her or him. But that is not the way we are to be with everyone. Indeed, to deal with some people and to attempt to deal with their problems may lead us to getting a black eye rather than anything else, certainly rather than taking the speck of dust out of theirs. The book of Proverbs tells us, do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. And it's scoffers, those who have no time for the gospel of grace, that Jesus here is calling dogs and pigs. Now, if you've got a beloved pet dog at home, then don't worry. Jesus is not speaking of your pet in pejorative terms. He's not speaking about the pedigree poodles that we have today. He's speaking rather about the half-wild thing that lived by scavenging around human communities. He's speaking of what the Tamil peoples call pariah dogs. Pariahs being the lowest caste of all. He's speaking about things that belong to the dust heap, that lived like desert hyenas on the edge of humanity. Now this is the animal to be devoured by whom was a mark of severe judgment. Think of Jezebel and her blood at the city gates. This is the dog who in the mind of the Jew was equated with the outsider, with the Gentile, with the untouchable. And Jesus deliberately takes all these images and takes this animal. He takes a creature that was regarded as being beyond salvage, a pest, a dangerous thing, to point to a particular kind of human being. And in the same way, he calls them pigs. Now the pig in the Bible is the type, is the essence of all unclean animals. It was a mark and a measure of debasement in Jesus' parable when he spoke of the prodigal son in the far country actually eating not just rubbish but the food that was meant for a pig. This is not just the inedible, it's the untouchable to a devout Jew. It was the chosen destination of demons. Remember the expulsion of the demons from the man Legion on the far side of the Sea of Galilee. An animal for whom, if the Jew ate his flesh, it would be an abomination. An animal, when Antiochus Epiphanes took it and slaughtered one on the altar or towards the altar site in Jerusalem, became known as the abomination of desolation. No Jew would give anything holy to a dog. No Jew would set a spiritual peril before a spiritual pig. And if that startles you, then can I simply point out to you, or remind you rather, how Peter, the apostle of Jesus, picks up this figure and he speaks about pigs and dogs in terms of those who fall away and begin to teach others to disobey Christ. He says they are like pigs in the mud. And they are like dogs with vomit. The Bible's words, not mine. Jesus then, having forbidden us to be censorious and judgmental of others, is now calling us to use good judgment and not to treat brothers as pigs and dogs, and not to treat those who are spiritually like dogs as brothers. And that's something that many Christians have yet to learn. Now this is not, let me say this as clearly as I can, this is not Jesus telling us that our attitude to unbelievers ought to be an exclusive one. We ought to have nothing to do with them. He is not teaching that. And this is not an invitation to treat non-Christians as if they were somehow human dogs and pigs. That would be a contradiction of all that the Bible indicates we are to be to others. Hasn't Jesus just taught us that even those who set themselves against us as enemies are to be loved? That we are to be salt and light, however unpopular we are to serve in the world? That we are to give to whoever begs from us? That we are to show openness and love to others? Now this is not a contradiction of all that. Jesus does not mean that. He is not telling us here how we are to relate to unbelievers. So what does he mean? Well, can you see that he is referring to those who, for whatever reason and by whatever path, have become hardened to grace, have become not just cynical, but have begun to scoff at the peril of the gospel. These are people who are so anti and against the gospel of grace that they no longer recognize a peril as a peril. They don't know what it is that they are speaking against, because they have hardened their own hearts and minds and wills against the claims of Jesus. Jesus is certainly not forbidding us to preach the gospel to outsiders. That would be absolute foolishness. That would contradict our great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That would deny our function together as Christians, as salt and light in the world. That would deny what the Church of Christ is for. And how would others come to know him and love him if he didn't continue to use us and reach out through us and in us to others? But this is for those for whom the pearl of great price has become something to be mocked and despised. It's for those who despise salvation, who despise the grace of God, who despise Christ himself. They are spiritually like pigs, says Jesus. They can't tell the difference between a pea and a pearl. And when they find that what they thought was edible can't be swallowed, they trample it in the mud and turn on the giver. Again, once more, let me say that this is not an excuse for exclusivism. It is not an excuse to misinterpret and misapply the words, "Come ye out from among them." It is not any such thing. People point, you know, at John Calvin above all and say that those who follow the Reformed teachings of Calvin somehow become exclusive and misunderstand this. But let me show you what John Calvin actually says. He says of this passage, "It is our duty to present Christ indiscriminately to all." But he also goes on to say this. He identifies dogs and pigs like this as those not to be given to every kind of debauched men, nor to those who are destitute of the fear of God and of true godliness, but it's for those who by clear evidences have manifested a hardened contempt of God, in that the disease appears to be incurable. Do you see? It can be both wrong and dangerous to go on offering Christ to those who have gone way beyond the point of respect and a decent attitude. It is wrong to go on offering Christ to those who despise him, who spit on him. Those who spat on Christ at his trial were never given a word from the Savior. And Jesus here is saying to us, it is wrong and it is dangerous to offer and go on offering holy things to those who have made themselves pigs and dogs. If anyone here has kept pigs, and a friend of mine did, you'll know that the danger is there. A breeding hog can be a vicious animal, spiteful, sleek it. Now Jesus is speaking of those who, having deliberately refused the grace of God, can be dangerous. And he is saying to us, there comes a time when I want you to stop speaking to them. When, if you go on speaking of me and speaking of the pearl of the gospel to them, you actually dishonor me and you dishonor the gospel and you make them harder still. Now that is not a very popular piece of Christian teaching. I acknowledge that. but it's clearly found in the Bible. Now, I believe that there are people who abandon themselves, for whom it's not just a matter of backsliding from grace and falling away from Christ and not obeying Him. I believe there's another class of person who turn not just away from Christ, but turn against Him. I believe they are also few. Now, whatever we do about those who have fallen away, those who have turned against Christ have to be left alone. Now, we may make mistakes with this. We may go on offering the gospel too long. And I believe God understands when we make that mistake, because it is better to make that mistake than to make the other one and to fail to offer Christ because we think people are too far away. But isn't there a point beyond which, if people go, they have moved beyond backsliding into treason and hatred of Christ? When Columbus set out, there came a point, according to the records we have, when he and his shipmates recognized that if they went another day further on, there was no possibility of getting back if they didn't strike land. Isn't there a point of no return for those then who harden their hearts against Christ? Not because they've gone beyond God's grace and mercy, and not because God refuses to forgive them, but because they have got to a point where they have chosen to despise the Savior. They have trampled on His mercy. They have snarled at His offer of forgiveness and tried to bite the hand of the messenger who came. Jesus is saying here, whether we like it or not, He is saying that at that point we should not persist, whether we're doing it for sentimental or even for reasons of love and painful heart, we should not persist in offering Christ. We should learn to be silent. Is that strange and uncomfortable for us? Do you remember Paul at Antioch, literally taking the instructions of Jesus and banging his shoes together and saying, "The dust of judgment is shaken off again"? Do you remember Paul at Corinth taking his robes and shaking the dust out and saying, "Well, be the blood on your own head. You've refused Christ." Do you remember him saying at the end of the book of Acts to the Jews of Rome, "You have refused Christ, therefore Christ and the gospel goes to the Gentiles, those whom you thought were dogs"? Paul learned, Peter learned, all Christians need to learn that there are those to whom we have to say nothing once we've said it all. Now, there are therefore times to refrain from speaking. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there are times when the best witness to Jesus Christ is to stop speaking? Do you believe that there are people who not only decline to respond to the call of Christ, not only decline to accept the offer of life and forgiveness and new birth, not only refuse to respond to the call to repentance and faith, but actually become harder and harder and contemptuous? I believe there are. I thank God that they are relatively few. But I believe there are. The Bible teaches there are those who must not be offered holy things. And this is a hard saying of Jesus. He is saying, if you go on, you are cheapening the precious gospel. You are cheapening grace. You're actually feeding their problem, not helping it. Now, this is an exceptional circumstance. I don't think it's all that common. I think people normally have a little door that remains open to grace, and I believe we should seek it and seek to bring grace to that door of their hearts. Yes, I believe people do remain open. And I believe that for them we must with all our hearts continue to offer Christ when we are speaking and when we are silent, by what we say and by what we are. But there will come a time now and then when we've to recognize that nothing is to be said to someone. And here is a warning to us. A warning about the hardening power of refusing the gospel of Christ. Here is an exception to the rule. The rule is go on with your testimony. The rule is go on offering peace and life and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. The exception that proves it is the person who has gone too far. And to that person Jesus says, don't speak a word. You're making it worse. Here is the exception to the great call and commission to let our lives and our words all together speak of the open offer of the gospel. And I suppose here also is a terrible warning to us about how progressive refusal of Jesus Christ can be. Are we open? Do our lives speak of Christ? Can the free offer of grace be seen in us? I hope so. I hope together in this congregation we learn more and more what it means to fulfill our responsibility in the world, to witness to that free and open offer. But there are those who refuse for too long and go too far. Amen.